As Christians, God has designed us. And he's designed us to reach out and to interlock with each other, our faith, our conviction in God's word, our calling.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about growing as believers in Christ. Why is it so important that we grow together? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren showing us God's plan for us to grow wider and deeper. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 is the basis for our message today. The Apostle Paul writes this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he, that's Christ, ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." That's God's word for today's message. So one main feature of our church's vision is to grow. And what we want to do is we want to grow both wider and grow deeper. So by wider, we mean we want to grow because God wants his church to grow. God wants his church to grow wider. We want to go wider, and that means we speak of it like the top of the funnel, where we're making first contact with as many people as possible. We want that top of the funnel not to be narrow. We don't want to say only people wearing pink shirts can come to our church. That's very narrow top of the funnel. But we want to have a wider top of the funnel that says anyone wearing any color shirt can come to our church, right? So it's we want to make that wider and appeal to more people. And not just in a quantity kind of way, in a numbers kind of way, but in that quality kind of way. That we're reaching out to unchurched people, not just church people. We're reaching out to all different classes, all different ethnic groups, different political parties and platforms. That's fine. We can all gather together as God's family in our vision for what we want our church to be. That's what we mean about wide. But then we grow deeper, and so we take that wider group of people, and we're united in a sense of maturing in our faith, of sinking our faith into the enriching, true Bible teaching of God's word. We want to set our feet very solidly in a solid prayer life. We want to extend our roots deeply into the ground, like Psalm 1, next to the living waters of God's Word. We want to grow intimately in our connection with other people. So that's kind of a wide but also not shallow relationships. We want deeper relationships with others. We want to grow in our skills for spiritual warfare. That's growing deeper. So there are two things we need to grow wider and to grow deeper in our Christian faith. Two things. Number one, God. Number two, each other. So here in Ephesians 4, what the Apostle Paul does is he kind of weaves in and out where he talks about wider and deeper and other people and our horizontal relationships and then vertically our relationship with God, and he weaves around. So I'm going to quote some different verses at different places so that we can just do it very simply this way. We're going to start with looking at the wider part. Wider, more diverse, more numerous people, and then we're going to go to the deeper part. So let's start with wide. And I want to start with this. Kids, I have a question. So Cross Kids, paying attention? Here's a question. Have you ever been in your backyard or maybe walking on the sidewalk at school or in your neighborhood and seen an ant? If you've seen an ant, raise your hand. If you've seen an ant in your backyard, by school, on the sidewalk, okay. Next question. When you see the ant, is it usually all by itself or with a group of other ants? Ready? Tell your mom or dad, is it by itself or with a group? Yeah, how many of you said group? Raise your hand. Is it with other ants? Raise your hand. Did you say it's with other ants? Usually they're with other ants. Once in a while you get a little stray ant. Usually it's with other ants. If you see only one and not other ants, you're really focused. I think you're paying really good attention. But I want to tell you about ants here. I found this research, and it's incredible, about ants and their togetherness. Ants understand the power and priority of togetherness. And here's the research. Scientific research has discovered how fire ants, thank God, how fire ants can survive heavy rains that flood their colonies so that they don't die, so that they stay in our backyards and sting us in the toes. But this is the research. This is incredible. I'm going to read this to you. So here's what the research says. Fire ants will link together and assemble into a flat, waterproof raft that actually floats above any floodwaters that flood their colony. These disc-shaped rafts are actually water-repellent due to the interlocking pattern between the ants. Some ants in this raft, this ant raft, even remain submerged below the water's surface, but the structure of the interconnection traps air bubbles between them that these ants can use to breathe. They don't have gills, they're not fish, so they use these air pockets to breathe when they're being flooded. Linked together, they're so water repellent that an ant raft can float for up to 2 months. The key to this raft is the strength of the interconnection between each ant. The whole raft is held together as the ants clutch to one another with jaws and claws. So you drop one ant in the water, and it dies. Drop in a tablespoon of ants, and they live through interconnected togetherness. And God made these creatures. So what can we as the church, as a group of Christians, what can we learn from fire ants? See, here you thought fire ants served only the purpose of stinging you in your toes and then you have an itch for a week. They serve another purpose. They teach us lessons about togetherness in church. So here's four lessons that the ants teach us, and then they're mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Says, what can we learn from the ants? We are joined and held together. So we can grow wider and deeper as God wants us to grow by hanging on to each other, by grabbing on together. That togetherness is important. Secondly, each of us as an individual has a calling from God. We're designed by God individually to fulfill that calling and to serve others, nobody is a consumer. So in that ant raft, there's not a designated position for one of the ants just to kind of ride on top and ride it out. Every ant has a purpose to form the ant raft so they all survive together. So every Christian is called by God, is gifted by God, and called by God to have a purpose. There are no consumers when you're talking about a group of Christians. No one is here just to be served. Even like Jesus, who said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so as a group of Christians, we're here to serve. Paul writes about this in verse 1. He says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. See? So I want to fulfill my calling that God has given me. And he continues, verse 7, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So part of God's grace to us is not just our forgiveness, but is equipping us to fulfill our calling, to serve others, and to have enough to do it. And that also takes personal sacrifice. It takes personal sacrifice in order to be of service to others. Not always sacrificial, but it can be sacrificial. Paul writes, he calls himself a prisoner for the Lord. So he identifies himself when he's writing the letter to the Ephesians. I'm a prisoner for the Lord. So Paul is actually experiencing personal sacrifice and hardship on behalf of the Ephesian congregation, but he doesn't say, I'm a prisoner for the Ephesian congregation, does he? He says, I'm a prisoner for the Lord. So, it can be easy to grouse and grumble in group dynamics when I'm making a personal sacrifice and I'm serving the group, and I look out and I see Billy Joe Jim Bob over there who's not working as hard as I am and not making the sacrifices that I am, I will grouse and grumble that Billy Joe Jim Bob is not doing his fair share, and therefore, what is Satan's lie to me is what? Then that makes me say, well, if he's not doing that much, well, then I'm not going to do that much either. And where does that leave us as a group of Christians? See, so if I'm not, it all has to do with expectations. Paul had expectations that he would be suffering for Christ. Jesus even told him that when he converted Paul. I'll show the church how much this man is going to suffer for my name. And Paul's suffering was for the good of the church. So it's going to require personal sacrifice at times to serve your brothers and sisters, to serve other believers. Maybe those believers are in your family, maybe they're in your small group, certainly a church. We have that expectation of personal sacrifice, just like Jesus sacrificed for us. So Paul writes in verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. He even predicts it. You're going to have to bear with your pastor. You're going to have to bear with each other. That's what we do. That's part of the personal sacrifice. And sometimes you are going to do more work than the person next to you. That doesn't make them bad and you better. That makes us a group. Think of how Jesus came. Think of his personal sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us. And Jesus did all the work. We did none of the work when it came to his redemptive work that saves our souls, that forgives our sins. He didn't look at us and say, well, they're not doing their part. Why should I do mine? Jesus came and he sacrificed himself personally and painfully so that we could be forgiven all the way to the cross. All right, finally, last lesson from the ants. Together we go the same direction. Together we agree on a foundational conviction, which is our confession based on the true words of God. And this confession, this conviction based on the true word of God is a unity that we have together that allows us as a raft to go. There's only one direction you're going to go if you're a raft. If you go two directions, you're two rafts. So if we want to be a group that's bonded together by our faith in the truth of God's word, that's going to unite us, and that will lead us to be going one direction with each other, interlocked like the group of ants surviving the flood. Paul writes about this way, verse 14. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. See that? God's word and agreeing on it with conviction and unity is how we grow and how we go together. Are you always able to be that Christian to that Christian? God calls us to bear with one another in love. He calls us to help those who are weak. So do you always have what it takes to be that stand up, upright Christian whose faith is so aligned with God and you're ready to be strong for someone? Say no. Yeah, I don't either. I don't always have the strength, or at least I don't feel like I have the strength. This, God addresses this here as he works through the Apostle Paul to give us a command and promise. And the command remains. The command says, I want you to be that upright popsicle stick, and I want you to help others, but there's a promise that comes along with that. Don't miss the promise as we look at this command and promise. So verses 3 through 6 in Ephesians 4. Listen to this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What holds us together? It's the unity of whom? Unity of God the Holy Spirit. And that unity, that bond, makes us strong. That's what makes you strong. That unity, that bond of the Holy Spirit, makes you able to be that person, that Christian, because you don't build that self up or manufacture it in yourself. This says you are called to it. It's a gift of God. He calls you to be that, and he gives you the strength and the ability to do it. So you're that unbreakable popsicle stick that goes on top of the other Christian who needs you. And let me tell you this, what counts the most for these popsicle sticks now as Christians is that we're bigger actually than popsicle sticks. Well, we're not personally, but we're connected because of that bond of the Holy Spirit. That bond of the Holy Spirit makes us better than popsicle sticks. We're connected to these wooden beams. And maybe this could break. But we're on the beam of the cross of Jesus Christ, which is unbreakable, which cannot be broken. He broke death with it. He broke Satan with it. He broke your sins with it, and then he rose from the dead. And so that's the gift that we have. The gift of strength, the gift of God's grace that doesn't just forgive us, but it fortifies us to be that for other Christians, even as we're connected to the cross of Christ. Each year of school shows progression. We're always growing up. And so you don't look like a baby when you're in eighth grade. We're always growing up, and God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow up spiritually. So let me ask you this, folks. There's verses in here that talk about being completely humble and gentle. Are you completely humble and gentle in every interaction with every person? I'm not. So God forgives us, and he wants us to improve. Here, the Bible here in Ephesians 4 talks about being patient with one another and bearing with one another in love. Are you always patient with others, and do you always bear with them in love? No, I'm not that either. So God forgives us, but he wants us to improve. Right? These verses talk about fulfilling your calling. Do you always take the gifts that God gives to you, the talents, the skills, and do you always use it to fulfill the purpose that he has for you every day and his plan for you? No. But so God forgives you, but he wants us to improve. Here's what I find, because I'm a person like you are. I exploit God's grace that forgives me as permission to not grow. So his grace that forgives me, then I say, oh, I guess everything is okay then. And so when we think like that, you'll hear things like, I'm just an angry person, that's the way I am. Don't tell me to change. I'm sorry, I'm an introvert. That's what introverts do. I'm sorry, I'm an extrovert. That's what extroverts do. I'm sorry, it's just who I am. Those are statements from people who are exploiting the forgiving grace of God and not squaring and standing themselves on God's grace that not just forgives us, but it fortifies and equips us to be the very people that God wants us to be. And so it says that here in verse 13. It says, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God's grace is bigger than just forgiving you. God's grace equips you to grow and to become the better version of you that God believes you can be. The question is, do you believe it? Do you want it? God knows there's a better version of you, and he doesn't stop. He's so zealous in giving you his grace so that you get there. Ephesians 4 answers that, and it says this. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You are so connected to the cross of Christ. You are so connected to his grace for you that you can grow because you're connected to him who also grew. He came to this earth, Jesus did, as a baby. Did he die as a baby? Kids, did Jesus die as a baby? Yes or no? No, he died as a grown man. Jesus grew and even grew into his mission. He grew in his understanding as a human being, and he grew up, and so we're his body. He wants us to do the same. And his grace gives you what you need. It forgives you of your sins, and it furnishes what you need to grow where he wants you to grow. Did you know that the strongest, tallest trees in the world are not pine trees? No, they're not pine trees. Biggest, tallest, strongest trees in the world are coastal redwoods. And you can find some of them on the western coast of the United States in California and the Northwest. But here's the thing. Their root system, guess how deep into the ground the root system of coastal redwoods is? 4 to 6 feet. Supporting a tree that's 300 feet tall. Now, 4 to 6 feet deep, the roots of coastal redwood spread out 125 feet. So that gives it a stable platform, but it's still only 4 to 6 feet deep, which they could topple over in storms very easily. So here's what coastal redwoods do. So that they don't topple over in a storm, so that they can grow tall and they can soar and they can become God's purpose for them, what he designed them to be. That root system underneath of a coastal redwood, as it reaches out 125 feet, guess what it grabs onto? Other coastal redwoods. And they interlock their roots together. And by interlocking their roots together in the dirt, underground, coastal redwoods don't topple over. And they can soar up into the sky and give glory to God. You get where I'm going here? As Christians, God has designed us. And he's designed us to reach out and to interlock with each other, our faith, our conviction in God's word, our calling. And as we do, God's intent is not that we just stay underground where no one can see us and that we interlock together and we huddle down and we stay low and we stay underground. His intention is that the reason we interlock together, the reason we are wide, and the reason that we want to extend ourselves to others is not just to extend, but to grow up into him who is the head, to soar, to glorify God, to let other people see us. And as they look at us, they look up and they see God through us. So, let's hang on to each other. How about that? Take on to each other in faith. And physically too. But in faith and in spirit and in one Lord and in the baptism that we share. Not just to hang on to each other. Not just to be close. But so that we can all grow to the glory of God and to our head, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.